As we continue to experience the word of the Lord together, let us pray. Great and awesome one, we can never completely understand you or your ways. Help us as we continue to live in you to experience the freedom that comes from letting go of trying to understand you or your ways, so that we might come into contact with the release that goes hand in hand with that kind of freedom. Use this time to further your purposes. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Son. Amen. Last week, the sermon in the Gospel of series was about absurdity and the fact that the real power of God, the power to which we're called, is a passive, self-denying power in weakness. It was not an easy sermon, not easy to prepare, not easy to preach, and I suspect, for some of you, not easy to hear. We want, naturally as humans, to be stronger, and God calls us to be weaker. We want to be active, and the sermon in a passage was a call to passiveness. We want to be wise, and God calls us to be foolish. The sermon felt like a call to go against what human nature would have us do and what naturally often feels good. So I felt worn out after last week's sermon. I don't know if some of you did as well. And I wanted to preach that sermon to get to this week's sermon, because I think the freedom that you only can get by that kind of absurdity, it provides a worthwhile thing. It's necessary for us to go through that difficult task to get to where we get today. Today we get to the not completely properly named Gospel of Silliness. So hear now the word of the Lord as it comes to us in 2 Samuel. Listen. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the Ark, and he died there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the Ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people. The whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servant's maid, and as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in the place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Thanks be to God. What a passage. David, victorious from a series of battles, comes back to Jerusalem and decides that it's time to bring the Ark of the Lord with him to Jerusalem. And this is such an occasion that David and all of the house of Jerusalem dance with all their might, the text reads, as the ark is taken from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. 30,000 men dancing. I view dancing as an act of play, and everyone is dancing. Well, almost everyone. Uzzah and Ahio, his brother, are not dancing. Ahio walks in front of the ark. Ahio walks in front of the ark. Do you understand the audacity one must have to walk in front of the ark of the Lord? Dancing in the presence of the Lord, well, now that's a different animal altogether. And there's the subtle difference. Dancing in front of the Lord, being open and honest in the presence of not only God, but also the assembly, is shown in this passage as a contrast to being pious and reverent. One is acceptable, maybe even required by God, and one is not. Now the passage gets really tough here. The oxen carrying the ark stumble, and Uzzah reaches out to touch it. Every theologian I know has said something to the effect that the ark was probably falling off its new cart, and all Uzzah was doing was keeping the ark steady and secure. The symbol of the presence of the Lord must not fall. Uzzah was just helping out, was by mere reaction touching the ark to keep it from falling, and God strikes him dead on the spot. But here's the thing. The text doesn't say the ark was falling off, just that the oxen had stumbled. Now, if the ark was really falling, I think, and clearly I am the only theologian to think this, so who knows what that makes of that, but I think if the ark was falling, I think that might be noted. So I don't agree with the other theologians. I'm not convinced the ark was falling. In fact, since the Bible doesn't say that it was falling, and again it's a detail I think would be there, I even go so far as to think the ark wasn't falling. Perhaps the ark had moved. It was just a little off kilter now. Wasn't straight. Wasn't right. Wasn't sitting pretty. And Uzzah wanted to have it straight, so he moved it back. Just as valid as an interpretation as the next. Look at the circumstances. The ark is being moved from the house of Abinadab, where Uzzah and Ahio come from, to David's house. It's being transferred. All the chosen people of God are dancing with all their might. This is the visual understanding of the presence of the Lord here. Reverence is due here. appropriateness is called for. Ahio and Uzzah are doing exactly that. Ahio is following good ritual. Uzzah is walking beside in what well could have been standard formation. The ark could fall. It would be good to have somebody right there. And when everyone begins to dance for the Lord, Ahio and Uzzah stand their post. Someone has got to be appropriate and reverent. Someone has got to uphold the traditions. Someone had better be proper. It's exactly what Michal says. You remember Michal, the daughter of Saul. Me either. That's why we have the Bible to remind us of that kind of detail. She complains that David is being improper, inappropriate, irreverent. And she has a point. David dances in front of the ark wearing nothing but his underwear, his tidy whities. After the Uzzah ordeal, it has been some time, at least 3 months have passed, and the ark has been in the house of Obed-Edom. It's hard to blame David since he has seen what has happened to Uzzah. I'm not sure I would want God that close to me right after such an event either. I wouldn't want God to have such easy access to me after the Uzzah situation. No thanks. Count me out. But the blessings of God reside with the ark, even as dangerous as letting God that close to us is. So David was full of fear, as the text reads, and if ever there was an understatement in Scripture, there it is. David, full of fear, brings the ark into Jerusalem. And he dances again. This is such an oddity, I cannot wrap my mind around it. David has seen the power of the ark kill a man just for touching it, which would make the near nakedness understandable. Any loose clothes might blow against the ark, and we've seen what can happen. But the dancing? David throws caution to the wind. For think of what could happen. What if David trips and falls into the ark? What if there's an accident? What if? The only reason David can dance in my mind is because there's a freedom he realizes. If God is unpredictable, which God is, if, as C.S. Lewis writes, Aslan is not a tame lion, and God is certainly not tame, if God is wanting full access to our lives and won't be confined to an ark, which God wants, if God can do whatever God wants at any time and we are subject to God's actions, which is a lesson David had just learned, if all of those are true, then a freedom comes with that. If all of our power and strength and wisdom, to borrow from last week, won't make us more acceptable to God, and it won't, then we can just dance. It seems that dancing before God, even if it is irreverent or improper, is acceptable behavior. Uzzah and Ahio's reverent formation and treatment of the ark didn't save them. Michael's discussion of what was proper didn't save her. Only the freedom that David felt to be completely open before the Lord and to dance, which to me has at least some part of silliness in it. God has access to the full you, to the complete you, and to the full and complete me. There is nowhere you and I can go, nothing we can hide before the Lord. We don't have to put on airs or false faces on Sunday because God knows what we're like Monday through Saturday. My guess is that we put on airs and false faces because we don't want our fellow Christians and our Christian family to see all our skeletons. But David, the text says, didn't just dance before God. He dances before the assembly. Maybe he felt free enough before God that he could be that open in front of the people, or maybe he felt that he was liberated enough by being in front of the people to be that free in front of God. Either way, the two to me are interconnected, being open with God and being free with the people. They affect each other. So we're free, and I think required, to be open, to be real, and yes, to be silly in front of each other. In this way, we recognize that God has access to our whole lives. We might dance in front of the Lord and in front of others by being vulnerable. 4 weeks ago to the day, Elise Birmingham died. As Ken and I, along with the Lewises, talked that night at Ken's place, Ken began to share some stories of Elise, and at one point, the conversation turned to the no-talent gong show that Ken has coordinated the past couple of years and took place one night before she died. We all commented on how fun it was, and Ken said this was the kind of thing that Elise loved because she really enjoyed silliness and laughing. See, Elise's life was a dance before the Lord, as is Ken's. David danced before the Lord and was not gonged for his interpretive dance, even though someone else danced before the assembly and was gonged for an interpretive dance. Michael and Uzzah tried to only show one side of their life before God, but using their properness, didn't want God to have full access. And they were each gonged by God. What would it look like to let God have full access into our lives? Might it look like the Lewises going over to sit with Ken the night Elise died from 12:30 to 4 a.m.? Or might it look like several of us going to see Leonia Langley on her deathbed? Might it look like folks willing to take casseroles to those who are hurting or recovering? Might it also look like this? This is Picnic Boy. Daniel dressed like this for an entire weekend at Montreat. I called him Picnic Boy because of the picnic blanket. His only superpower is the ability to attract ants. Note especially the shoes. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Might it look like this? This has also become a Montreat tradition, the mudding of faces during the summer week. Might it look like most of the congregation playing a joke on the pastor by dressing up in their pajamas to come on Christmas morning? Perhaps. I thought the rap was funny, but I still don't understand the cape. Might it look like wearing a cape to do a silly rap? I don't know who this is. I figured if I was going to make fun of you and show pictures of you, I ought to have somebody. I still don't know who that is, by the way. Oh, yeah. I don't know where you get these hats, Bill. I don't know. The hats blow my mind. Speaking of hats, I guess if you play Bonko, you have to come in an appropriate hat. I don't know how long it took you to make that hat. It's just wonderful. It had to be up there twice. Oh, well, there you go. Might our walk with God include looking like this? You wonder why we make fun of George when he comes to the men's poker game, but then you see that this is how he dresses to come to a men's event in pink with the shoes. Don't lose the shoes or the socks. I mean, right. God awful doesn't begin to describe it. Might letting God have full access to our life look like all of those things? The willingness to go to a friend's house and sit in the middle of the night, and the willingness to look silly in front of the assembly and share a laugh. So I say, be reverent by being irreverent. Be proper by being improper, and be appropriate by being silly when it calls for it. Maybe we won't get gonged by God for our inappropriateness or for our being silly, but for our inability to do so. Amen.